So we'll be looking at part two tonight of the peace offering. And I think part three may be two sections, but this is one section. We can definitely go through this in tonight. And Mike wrote this 16 years ago, and it's been a real blessing to go through it. Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 10 says, "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle." And Mike asks the question, what do those who serve the tabernacle eat? Look at the previous verse, Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. What does the peace offering do that the other offerings do not do? It feeds the offerer. The burnt offering is burnt entirely upon the altar. The meat or the flour offering is shared by God and the priests, but the peace offering is the only offering in which all three parties partake of the offering. God gets his share, the priest gets his part, and the offerer gets his part to share with anyone who is clean. All of our works of love, our sacrifices, our kindnesses, and our dedication to God are acceptable only through Christ. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 5. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, which we just saw a little baby desiring, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that's very key to this study. Our sacrifices are our righteousnesses unless we acknowledge that they are only good if they are done in and by Jesus Christ. Only then are they acceptable unto God as something more than filthy rags. Romans chapter 7, verses 4 to 6. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So that's a wonderful parable, right? When we lose a mate, and God says that's how profound this changes in our life. If someone loses someone they love, it's a profound thing. But that's how profound the relationship is with Christ. When we lose, we see what the law really is, and we understand this new relationship and this marriage that we have with Christ, that we have in earnest now, but we are married. We are raised in heavenly places, and we are God's sons, but we're Christ's wife. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Until we realize that we share Christ with God and are nourished by Christ with God, until we realize that God shares and is nourished by Christ with us, until we realize that Christ himself shares himself with us and with God, we may pray many hours without ever experiencing communion with God. Talking to God is one thing. Sharing Christ with his Father is an entirely different thing. That is communion. Telling our Father how much we see and appreciate all that he has accomplished in us through the sacrifice of his Son, expressing to our Father all we see in that sacrifice, and yes, even asking to have so much of his Son grow up in us that we are exactly like him in our Father's eyes. That is more than simply talking to God and making our requests known. We need to do that. But we also need communion with our Heavenly Father. Communion is also sharing. And all there is that God will accept to be shared with him is his perfect Son. Only then are we delivered from the law. So sharing the life of Christ with one another, that's what God accepts. That's treasure laid up in heaven, really. Only then will we go beyond our concern of suffering God's wrath and begin to see that there is a relationship to be had which needs to be nourished and fed and enjoyed in feasting. That feasting is sharing Christ, both with Christ and also with his Father. Then we come to realize that they too find nourishment and satisfaction in that same perfect meal. And there is even more revealed about the efficacy of this offering. All of the priest's children get to share in this offering. Leviticus chapter 7, verses 28 to 32. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons, God's elect. And the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. Numbers 18, verses 9 to 13. Of course, that last verse that we read is talking about Christ. So that's the whole point of this peace offering. It's being shared with Christ and the Father. And we're learning of that communion. But as we're going to read, the communion is connected to the body and the blood of Christ. Numbers 18, verses 9 to 13. This shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. This is again speaking of the sons of Aaron, typifying the elect. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it, which was mentioned earlier. So nothing's going to defile the temple of God, and there's no relationship. If we go to the altar, it says that in some place, and we then go and think, oh, I have not reconciled myself to my brother. You can't eat. God says you have to reconcile yourself, and we know what that's like. The Lord will, if he's working with us, he pricks our conscience, and we will lose sleep even to get out of that snare, be reconciled. Why? So we can go back to that altar and eat and share with the body and be blessed by each other. and by our Lord. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Who are the priest's sons? Acts chapter 8, verse 33. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? What a wonderful question. And here is the answer. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a peace offering, as that sacrifice with Christ in us, this is the blessing, the incredible blessing that we have. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 and 5. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And that verse really connects with the understanding of the peace offering, doesn't it? God does all he does by Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Christ, being just like his Father, is doing all that he is doing for his Father through the church. So there's a relationship there. Ephesians 3, verses 10 to 12, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I cannot begin to tell you how blessed we are according to those verses. What we're being told here is that we will rule the nations and be God's channel through and by Christ to bring all mankind of all time into the all in all. This is what we share with God and with Christ in the peace offering. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 21. And these are different Bible versions. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The CLV. To him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus for all the generations of the eon of the eons. Amen. Darby says, to him be glory in the assembly in Christ Jesus unto all generations of the ages of ages. Amen. To him be the glory, the LITV. To him be the glory in the assembly in Christ Jesus to all the generations of the ages of the ages. Amen. And the REV, unto him be the glory in the assembly and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations of the age of ages. Amen. And the YLT, to him is the glory in the assembly in Christ Jesus to all the generations of the ages. Amen. It is all done in Christ Jesus, and it is all that the Father is doing. And 2 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 20. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Another section of verses that really speak to this peace offering, how we're interconnected. On that day, you will know that I'm in you, you're in me, and I'm in the Father. Ephesians 2, verses 17 to 18. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And that reminds us of that analogy that Mike mentioned about the vine, the grapevine having the same root, all done in Jesus, Christ Jesus. All equal access to the vine. We all have equal access to the vine. Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 21. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 8 to 11. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Colossians 1, verses 16 to 19. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Principalities and powers that we read earlier, that Christ is far higher than above. So with Christ's life within us, he knows those principalities and powers. They were created by him, so he knows how we can overcome them through his power, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And it pleases the Father that we are the bride of Christ, and that we'll have that privilege and honor if we are granted that through the Father to grow and to overcome and to be able to endure unto the end, which is our prayer for each other. And what does this verse tell us of those who realize what they have in the peace offering? How does all fullness dwell in Christ? Is a question. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, unto Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. No, let me read that again, because that's speaking of the Father. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, unto God the Father, then shall the Son, no, things are initially subdued unto Christ. That's the point. That's what we're talking about. That's the subject. I need a little more context. So let's read it again. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son, because Christ is the first one, he has that preeminence in this fleshly realm. He's bringing all things together first, judgment upon the house of God, and then we will be used of the Lord to judge the nations. And then the great white throne judgment, or the lake of fire judgment. Then shall the Son also himself, after that's all done, be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Bobby Lynch's favorite verse. That's really reading the end of the story from the beginning, but that's an awesome thing to contemplate on. All in all attained? That's the question. Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 23. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which is wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Here we go. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians 1, verses 22. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And that's why we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because that's exactly what's happening. Christ, as we know, is working in us both to will and to do of our Father's good pleasure. As we work at our own salvation with fear and trembling, this is what we're being told. This is how this reconciliation process is happening with the body of Christ first, and then ultimately with all of the world. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. In the body of his flesh, and I was reading this today and thinking, what is his flesh? We are his flesh and bones, Ephesians 5, verse 30. So in the body of his flesh through death, as we die daily, that is how we are being reconciled to God for each other. That's partaking of that peace offering as well. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you, and of course, speaking of Christ as well, he is the preeminence in that, but he's still, we're being baptized into his death. So this is still happening. Of course it's happening, and it will happen until our last breath. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. All by him. By him, this is happening. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name for this incredible privilege and honor to have this process unfolding for us. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 21. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, your way, former way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's so succinct. In this peace offering, we feast with Christ, our priest and mediator, and with his and our Father. In Christ, we can commune with both. To understand this, we must see Christ as he is presented to us in all of the offerings. He is the offering, he is the offerer, and he is the priest and mediator. He is everything but the Father, of whom are all things. He is everything.
Everything but.
But the Father, of whom are all things. That's what I, sorry about that. Let me read that again. He is everything but the Father, of whom are all things. Genesis 41, verses 38 to 40. And Pharaoh said, and this is why this is important, it ties into this point. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Joseph being a type of Christ. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou, meaning the Father will be greater than Christ. My Father is greater than I. That's what Christ said, and that's the truth. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So we're being prepared for this incredible honor to be kings and priests, but we have to be judged and we have to go through these things which Christ tells us we will, through his strength, we will endure unto the end if we are his. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. The verse I like to bring up is that we're bound to the altar, because we are. If we are his, the Lord will make provision. And what's bound at the altar? The sacrifices, the peace offering, the burnt offering, all of them. God the Father is fed and satisfied with the peace offering. God the Father eats with us of the peace offering. In this offering, we too are nourished and share in it with our Father. Christ, our priest and mediator, beholds himself, the one thing we can share with our Father. So we're sharing the life of Christ with our Father. And that's why we're accepted, because it's what Christ is doing through us and bringing to the Father. And those things are so powerful. They're written. God says, he's showing us how powerful he is. He's saying, I already declare the works that you would do, what you would say, when you would say it, how you would say it. Seeing this communion, which through him we have with our Father, satisfies and nourishes our Lord, everyone, including Christ himself, finds satisfaction in Christ as the peace offering. If we eat a meal in communion with our friends in this life, and we notice and miss them in their absence, which we often do, how much more ought we to enjoy and appreciate our communion with our priest and our Heavenly Father? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16, I think it is, it says, our communion is the body and the blood of Christ. Why? Because that's what strengthens us, and this is what Mike is showing us. The physical meals are fine, and coming together, that's great, but if we're just coming together like the Corinthians, and someone is drunk, and someone's eating, and there's a selfishness about it, then what's the point? He says, you have homes. Go back home and do those things. When we come together, we're sharing the life of Christ. And I'm saying that is what we are doing. And we are blessed to come together because we feed each other. We nourish each other. And how much more, you go on, how much more does our Lord appreciate our friendship and communion with himself and with his Father and ours? Like Anthony said last night, we are his friends, and he wants us to know that. This is a friendship, a fellowship that builds us up, and we don't want to forsake it, because we're going to need that strength as we near the end of this age. This is what he tells us. Luke 22, verses 14 to 16. And when the hour has come, he sat down before he was going to die. And the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And Mike asks, are you a part of that kingdom? If you are, you have an altar at which others are not fit to eat. And this is what Christ desired, what we're reading here. Hebrews 13, verses 9 to 10. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar where Christ is, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacles. So it's being fulfilled in the kingdom of God, which is within us right now. That's the tabernacle. That's the altar. And the altar is the cross. We need to make that connection too, because we're not just standing there. We're actively involved. We're about our Father's business. And we know that there's going to be afflictions and fiery trials and persecutions and sufferings. That's good to know that, but it's also good to know that those trials will strengthen us as a body, and they will bring us to be able to know our Father and Christ, which is eternal life. Next week, we will cover the purpose for mentioning the priest's children and the significance of being a child of the priest. We will also cover the import of the different grades of this offering. You will be amazed at what is revealed in these types and shadows of the things of the Spirit. You will come to know even more about Him who satisfies all. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Lord.